There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Tuesday, live local talk over the next couple of hours. I'm going to be hosting this hour, and my friend Cam Marston will be hosting next hour. As you heard, we've been talking about the coronavirus special edition of What's Working, talking about what small businesses need to know to navigate this economy going on right now. So Cam will join us at 1 Midday Mobile from now until 1 o'clock, and then I'll be here with Cam for that show starting at 1. It's going to be a regular thing on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 until 2. We'll be doing the special programming, trying to figure out the new economy, deal with this, hopefully for the short period of time, but we all don't know right now. So what does it mean for you? It means you need to tune in, stay tuned in at 1 for Cam's program. And also we'll put it up as a podcast, a part of all the podcasts we put up online through fmtalk1065.com and a lot of other places. So we'll get to that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Now, I just want to hit a couple things, and then we're going to get into what's happening here at home in Mobile, as the city council meeting that was started about an hour ago had some commentary from Mayor Stimson, also Finance Director Paul Wesch, on the coronavirus impacts on revenue to the city and going forward what the city's going to do about gatherings and limiting people in groups more than 10 on public property. But we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. All right, I want to hit a couple things here. As of 10 this morning, the fourth and fifth positive test results for cases of COVID-19 in Mobile County residents have been confirmed. As of now, we're up to 217 COVID-19 cases in the state, and those in Mobile with 5, Baldwin County at 3, Washington County remains at 1 case as of this morning. Reminder here, local testing for the coronavirus has been in accordance with federal and state public health guidelines. Both patients and adults are currently hospitalized that are under these in these numbers, the 5 cases. Most patients with COVID-19 infection have had mild respiratory illness along with fever, cough, and shortness of breath. Some have more severe symptoms that have required hospitalization. Health officials with ADPH urge anyone experiencing symptoms to first notify their health care provider, and so the proper precautions can be taken. Now, we remind you, too, the phone number, the 800 numbers, the contact numbers are on our website at fmtalk1065.com. You can go there. You go to 3 big things, top news stories of the day. Number one story links you through to those phone numbers. Okay, so you call those, and they say in the story here from WKRG, as a precaution suggested by ADPH, that any non-work-related gatherings of more than 25 people or non-work-related gatherers that cannot consistently maintain a 6-foot distance be postponed and canceled. So we'll get the city's take on that coming up in just a second. Also, in Mississippi, Governor Reeves has signed an order to ban gatherings of 10 or more. Only essential employees can go to work. So this is a lot like what Louisiana instituted about 48 hours ago. Now that's going on in Mississippi. Question is, when does that arrive in Alabama? And we'll keep our eyes on it. All right, I want to get to this. I want to get to a couple of things coming up this hour. We're going to play one clip here, which is the beginning of the Mobile City Council meeting with Mayor Sandy Stimson addressing the council, talking about the executive branch's view on this and what's being done with public works, public safety, all that, and coronavirus. And then the next part is Finance Director Paul Wesch addressing revenue. And wait till you hear the stats here. I'm going to give you a little. Paul Wesch says that Mobile will see about a 20% decrease in retail sales tax, an 80% drop in restaurant sales tax, and a 20% occupancy for hotels. 20% occupancy for hotels. We'll get to that clip coming up in just a second. So let's start off. Here is Mayor Sandy Stimson addressing the City Council today.
Communications from the mayor.
Good morning. It's good to see those of you who are here and those who may be watching being live streamed. You know, we hear occasionally people make the comment that business as usual. You know, I think that that's really kind of a slip. There's nobody doing business as usual right now. What they may be trying to do is provide services that they have provided in the past, but it's certainly not in the usual format of what we're all so used to. We at the city are adapting to the changing environment. We will continue to adapt. And the purpose is to make sure that we provide a safe and healthy city and continue to provide the services at the level, the highest level that's possible under the situation where we are. Obviously, it's on everybody's mind and in the media's mind about testing. There is more testing going on in Mobile this week than went on last week. There are more test kits that are available. There's still a shortage of test kits. All of them are being controlled by the hospitals and by the two two health clinics, one being Franklin and the other one, I think, is Mobile Urgent Care. They have control of those kits themselves, and you have to have an appointment with one of the referring physicians of those hospitals, all those urgent care units, in order to be tested. My prediction is that a week to 10 days from now that there'll be more widespread testing as the tests become available. You've heard the comments, and we have talked about it almost every time I get behind a microphone, is that what is the city going to do? And after really 10 days of intensive conversation and process of learning what is going on and how can we best fill a void, it appears that by us standing up a testing center, we're really going to be doing it for the benefits of the hospital. It will not be, let's say, city run, so to speak. What we will do, we will stand the facility up, and it will be manned by the various hospitals that are sending their patients there. The idea is that the hospitals do not want their emergency rooms overcrowded, and they don't want the people who are sick but may not have the coronavirus to be clogging up their system. So, and if we can work in collaboration with them, stand up a couple of centers so that we can do that testing, it will relieve them. Right now, the number one priority, in my opinion, is to make sure that the health care providers are taken care of. The people that are working at the hospitals, whether it's doctors, nurse practitioners, nurses, orderlies, all of them, you know, we have got to make sure that they're taken care of. The second group is our first responders. And when I say first responders, I think that that's a nationally recognized term that means policemen and firemen and paramedics. But, you know, there's another group that's just almost equally as important and is almost lockstep with them, and is that our sanitation workers. Because if you don't pick up the garbage, you're going to have another set of ills or sickness that you don't have today. So those are our focuses, is to make sure that those parts of the city are functioning. I believe that you will see the shortage of the personal protective equipment. That's probably going to be more readily solvable than the test kits. But anyway, all of that will ramp up. We're constantly on the phone, talking to the governor's office, talking to federal officials, talking to people in the healthcare industry, as hospitals, trying to make sure that we're in sync and doing the things that we need to do. A lot of you are sending emails and sending suggestions. We're reading all of those, but right now, because of the volume of information that's coming in, we can't write a personal response to your email. You will get a response that's outlining our position and what we're doing, but the most important point is that your idea is being read and we're trying to act on it as we balance the equation of doing what's best to maintain your health and the economy of this city. So I believe that today we're better than we were this time last week. Matter of fact, I know we are. We know so much more than what we knew. We will know more this time next week. We will be doing more. Meantime, you'll see the mayor in this meeting like this with the social distancing, but you're going to see pictures of me in the future where I may be sitting behind a microphone or in front of a telephone, but there won't be any people in the room because we are trying to do everything possible to not just talk about the social distancing, but also to set the example of how it can be done. So all of our executive directors and department heads, they now know that we're going to try to conduct business, if at all possible, without personal interaction. So that's my report, Mr. Vice President. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I do have a question for you, and not to really just put you on the spot with this particular question. I do understand that many of the tests have been sent to bigger cities like Birmingham and other bigger cities that have bigger population of people. But has it have been any consideration as far as in just a month ago that we were celebrating Mardi Gras here in the Port City, and we had people from California, New York, D.C. celebrating here in Mobile, and potentially could have left some virus here and went back home? Has that been in consideration with like FEMA or anybody?
No, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that's been considered because today, CJ, they're looking at the number of cases, and then they're looking at it on a percentage also. But because we haven't had many tests done, we don't have that many tests reported or that many cases reported. A comment, and this is not part of your question, if Mardi Gras were to be held starting next week, I think that we collectively would decide to postpone Mardi Gras. I mean, I just know that we would. But at the time when Mardi Gras came about, you know, we weren't experiencing what we experienced today. But the federal agencies are only going to be monitoring and sending equipment to those places that they call hot spots. New Orleans is a hot spot. Birmingham's a hot spot. Mobile, let's pray that it's not a hot spot, but we really don't know until we do more testing. Yeah.
Do you think it's possible, or if it's worth the while, that, you know, the city was sending like a resolution to FEMA and just stating that we had many people from all across the United States come to Mobile to celebrate Mardi Gras, and we have some concerns and that we need probably more testing? Do you think that probably will help?
I don't think so, CJ, for this reason. The federal government, who's trying to distribute some of these tests, Mobile is, and other cities like us, they're going to get tests because of relationships they've got with private labs and other things. The federal government is cumbersome at best, and they're going to go where the most people are, period, okay, in my opinion. And so all of us cities that are in the same situation, and most cities are just like us, they are trying to find test kits. And it's going to be, again, working collaboratively, using relationships, maybe willing to pay the price. But also, we're fortunate that we have four hospitals here and other health clinics that are kind of uniting in their voice, you know, saying this is what we need. And we are creating that conversation, unifying them, so that it's a bigger voice than just one of the hospitals saying they need something.
Thank you so much for your work.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Richardson.
Mr. Mayor, to your knowledge, are there any city employees who have been infected with the COVID virus?
No, at this point in time. And Council, we have department heads, the supervisors, and everybody, we're monitoring every single employee every day to see who is absent, why they're absent, you know, if they need to go to the doctor. And at this point in time, we've not had anybody to be reported that they've tested positive.
Outstanding.
And the other thing I would say in that regard, and Director Barber was making a comment about this earlier, we're going to have first responders that will be exposed. It's like people at the hospital are exposed, okay? And so what we're hoping is that we have a way of screening them with a test that can be done on the spot much quicker, and it will help us screen to see if somebody has been. It will not be a, I'm trying to think of the terminology, it will not be with the accuracy of the nasal test, but it will be an indication that maybe we should have them stand down or stay at home until we can get a nasal test.
Okay.
And that may be happening, that could happen as soon as next week, where we would be looking at testing on some kind of basis, and I'm not sure the frequency yet, our first responders, and probably some of our garbage collectors.
All right.
Madam Clerk.
All right, tell you what, let's we'll run to the break here and come back with the discussion from the finance director, Paul Wesch, what this means for revenues for the city. And, you know, Gamecock Girl, I agree with you, who says on the text line, nothing like wasting time by discussing rather or not to postpone an event that took place a month ago. Here's what's happening. You are getting a municipal version of what's happening nationally. That there are politics afoot in this as well, as sad as it is, to try to pin something on Mayor Stimson, some kind of, like they didn't react fast enough. It's like a junior version. You'll see it out there on social media of what's happening in Washington. And I'm just going to keep pointing it out. Point it out. That's what's happening right here. We'll be right back.
This information.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Tell you what we're going to do. We'll run to the news break here and then get back the second half of what I need you to hear. I want you to hear the whole city council meeting, but these two parts I think are pertinent. Of course, the mayor's discussion here and questions from the members of the city council, and also finance director Paul Wesch has some pretty sobering projections here, saying that nothing's concrete because they're talking about the sales taxes collected in January, right? So we'll be delayed in actual numbers to see the impact of coronavirus on our local economy. But, I mean, you don't have to have an economics degree to say, obviously, it's going to impact. And in a state and in a city that is so dependent on sales tax, it's going to be a big deal. And what does it mean for budgets going forward? It's a question being asked in Montgomery. It's a question, of course, being asked in Washington, except they can print money. And for sure, right here in Mobile, and I'm sure in Fairhope, and in Gulf Shores, and Dolphin Island, Bay Minette, and Citronelle, everybody's asking this question. And right now, we know it's not going to be good. The exact numbers, we don't know yet. I want to hit a couple stories here before we go to the news break, then we'll come back with that audio from Paul Wesch. I said this, and some people were commenting, okay, what you're seeing to some degree here, and I see what's going on social media right now by some, you're looking at an analog, you're looking at a JV. No. You're looking at a CYO version of what's happening in Washington, okay? And that is the blame game. And I got to tell you, a pox on both parties to get in that right now. And what that is the Democrats trying to paint a picture that President Trump has failed in this response to coronavirus, right? You see that same thing that's happening. Those that are aligned against Mayor Sandy Stimson, when they're asking questions about Mardi Gras and what should have been done at Mardi Gras, something that was in the past, they're trying to paint a picture. Okay, trying to paint a picture. Just, you know, things like that don't have any strength when you just call them out for what they are. All of a sudden, you realize it's just a paper tiger. Okay, so just know that's what's going on. That's what's being laid out here. Did you see this? I put it up on the Twitter feed. This is bad news here. Bad news as Great Smoky Mountains National Park closed for 2 weeks. I love that park. And if you had plans, you know, to get up there and, you know, if you're going to try to do social distancing, maybe up in the back country of the Smokies is a great place to do it. But now the word out is, who did this? WATE out of Gatlinburg said, Great Smoky Mountains National Park officials announced that all park areas except the Foothills Parkway and the Spur will close for 2 weeks in a continued effort to slow the spread of coronavirus. All park areas except Foothills Parkway and the Spur are closed as of today. and they will be closed through April 6th. All access to the park, including trails and roads, will temporarily close in alignment with efforts to control the spread of COVID-19 across the region. Despite park efforts over the last week to comply with the Centers for Disease Control guidance on social distancing, approximately 30,000 people entered the park daily, resulting in congested conditions at popular locations such as Laurel Falls, Newfound Gap, and Cades Cove. During the closure period, visitors can experience the park by using digital tools. Bubble. That's not the same. Pictures are cool, but it's not the same. Don't we have the lightning bug? Is it next month that the like one of two places on Earth you have synchronized lightning bugs? That happens. People won't be able to do that probably either. So even the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which is the most visited national park in the system, dealing with coronavirus and the outfall, closed for at least a couple weeks here. All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile, and Cam Marston joins us at 1. You're not going to want to miss this.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. The president just saying in a presser here a little bit ago, wanting to have the country back open, back to normal by Easter, right? We got the 15 days to flatten the curve going on, and the president hoping. Listen, there are analogs up and down the line, and it is driven, I think, partially by politics. Of course, I believe in the scientific part of it. I think you got to look at that and be fair with the scientific part, right? The doctors don't have an agenda. I mean, there may be somebody who has a doctor at their name as an agenda, but the majority of these folks in healthcare are just trying to defeat coronavirus, and props to them. You know, as the heroes of this are the frontline folks working in the healthcare field. And also, I got this text this morning, too. Let me pass this along. This came in this morning, said, I'm a first responder, but I think we can all agree the true unsung heroes during this crisis are the truckers, who we talked about this morning, grocery store clerks, Walmart workers, sanitation workers, essential jobs. I agree. But what you're seeing is, and we're going to run this next segment here with Paul Wesch, finance director for the city, talk about the revenues. But you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, whether you're the president or you're the mayor or somewhere in between, because the economy is two tracks here, right? We're fighting the virus at the same time we have a full outbreak, a full contagion of bad economy. It has infected everybody. So what do you do? When you shut things down, you guarantee people losing jobs, effects on the economy. If you don't, then you're walking a line here that maybe, you know, you don't flatten the curve as much. And that's a tough thing, too, flattening the curve, because the armchair quarterbacks, and here's what can happen, and this is an unknown. This is why we always talk about hopping in that DeLorean time machine, putting a bunch of garbage in there to fire it up. I'm sorry if you're Back to the Future reference for those of us that are older. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't, because if you let's say we come through this and it's not so bad, I pray to God it's not so bad, then there'll be armchair quarterbacks that'll say, see, it was much to do about nothing. While possibly the efforts being made right now are the reason it will seem like there's much to do about nothing. But without being able to hop in the time machine and go back and play it in two different ways, you never know, right? So there are going to be people that critique. So elected officials are in a position, I think, if they're being fair-minded, to try to figure out, is there a middle road? Maybe there's not a middle road, where you have to respect the economy and what's going on with the economy at the same time making the best choices to fight coronavirus spread. That's true at all levels of government. And that is the argument being made, push against the president. Well, he didn't close things fast enough. He's not pushing. And it's the same thing that was happening in today's Mobile City Council meeting to some degree. So let's run it by the numbers here. So this is from a little bit earlier, about an hour and a half ago, Finance Director Paul Wesch speaking to the City Council.
Good morning, Mr. Vice President, council members. Good morning, Ms. Rich. Good morning, Mr. Manzi. I have a couple of things to mention today. First, we have the February financial reports in. February, as you know, is when businesses who have collected sales taxes during January pay them over to the city. Then reports are compiled, and it's not till March that we get to report those. You've heard that before. The reason I repeat it today is it's very difficult to make any judgments about how the COVID-19 crisis will affect cities' revenues until much later in the year. In fact, March's results will not actually be available to us until May, so 2 months from now. For February, we had a pretty good month. We're ahead about $1 million in total revenues over budget and also over the same period last year. And all departments are within budget. Now, I do want to mention that we are starting to look at what the economic impact is going to be to Mobile from the coronavirus. And it's more of an art today than a science. There are very few jurisdictions and very few analysts who have put methodology out there that have been embraced by cities to date. Probably the best is came to us from the Comptroller of New York City at a time when New York was still open. That is, they were not shut down. And that methodology is one that we've adopted for the time being until we have actual data in our hands. They took the position, and we think it's reasonable, that for the foreseeable future, we will see about a 20% decrease in retail sales tax, an 80% drop in restaurant sales tax, and a 20% occupancy in our hotels. To give you a little reference, we do know anecdotally that our hotels are looking today at about a 6 to 12% occupancy rate. Hotels are not shut down. Their restaurants may be, and their meeting rooms may be, but the nightly occupancy is still there. We think that as travelers adapt more completely to auto travel as opposed to air, that our occupancy rates will trend up a little bit, but we don't have reason to doubt what the Comptroller of New York said about that extending to the end of the year. We're looking right now at trying to measure a two-month period. Let's call it April and May. What will the downturn indicate for us over 2 months? 2 months seems to be maybe not a majority, but a plurality of jurisdictions' choice as to what to measure at this point. Based on some of the criteria I mentioned, we're looking at a total loss of revenue per month of about $7.2 million, or for the two-month period, about $14.4 million. To give you a reference point, our total revenues in a normal month, like the month we're in now, in April and May and June, is about $23 million in revenues. So if you do the math, that's we're indicating maybe a 30% drop in revenue for those 2 months. That could extend if this crisis extends, if the flattening of the curve doesn't happen early enough. But we don't think that we'll have a shorter period. So we're looking at 2 months as kind of the starting point. The good news is, thanks to our department's attention to budget, thanks to your passage of what have been, I think, conservative budgets in the past, and to good management of our employees and our projects and our finances, we have the surplus to weather that storm for that period of time without having to think about things like borrowing money or drastic furloughs or other cuts in services. So that's about all we know at this point. It's a starting point, and as time goes by, I think we can build on that. We hope to get some anecdotal data from retailers as we go to kind of put some color into what is right now just an outline. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Council.
Is there a, if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Chair?
Ms. Williams?
Is there any rationing of services, so to speak? Are we Is there something limited? Because you said without cutting back any services. Certainly we're not cutting back essential services, but is there any services that are being...
Well, you know, I guess it's how you define services. Of course, we're not providing services that are very meaningful in our rec centers and in some of our park facilities. Our museums are for the most part, closed. So those are not being provided. But we're not looking at rationing public safety, public works outside of parks and rec, or any of the other services that the city provides. Of course, as you can imagine, we're exploring, you know, what you know, certain changes might indicate if we have to go to any of those. But today, we're not planning any cut in services.
Just kind of a follow up. The reason for that, I guess, is say that we don't have to for any reason cut any services unless it is to protect from the virus. It's not because of finances, and that's because we're in a position that we can go on without borrowing money or without cutting services because we're losing revenue.
That's a very good perspective. So it's the virus itself that may be limiting services, but not the economic impact at this point.
Yep. Thank you.
Mr. Days.
I just want to take this opportunity to say the obvious, which is that you build your reserves when times are good, so that you have them available when inevitably times turn bad, like the ones we have now. Thank you, Mr.
Any other council members?
Mr. Vice President, can I make a comment, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
So what Mr. Wish said is if you have a $7.2 million loss, if that's right, a reduction in revenue, and you have $42 million in reserve, you can do the calculation of, you know, you can run for maybe 6 months like that. But if you would have a complete shutdown, you're going to have a whole lot more loss than the $7 million. So in good times, if we're at $23 million in revenue, and if you shut everything down, anybody's guess is as good as mine, but you could be looking at $10 to $14 million loss, maybe even a little more than that. And so instead of having a 6 months run of how being able to draw down on your reserve, then you know you go to 3 to 4 months. And so we are already looking at curtailing expenses. You know, there are certain things that can only be spent. It has to go to the executive director level and really all the way to Mr. Wesch to get approval for it. I will say this, though, there are some expenditures that we'll be coming back to you to ask for your approval. We need a couple of garbage trucks. You know, it was 5 years ago that we brought garbage trucks. We've had one burn up. So there's some things that we must do to continue providing services. So we're going to be frugal, but at the same time, know that we have got to spend money if we're going to keep on pushing through this, okay?
And other council members.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Thank Rice. You.
All right, so and then they go to take the vote, and the vote on this COVID-19, and it is a unanimous vote to move the city forward to this. Let me point out a couple things before we run the break. First of all, if you listen to Finance Director Paul Wesch, for the foreseeable future, he says, we will see a 20% decrease in retail sales tax, an 80% drop in restaurant sales tax, and a 20% occupancy in our hotels. He said right now we're looking at 6% occupancy in the hotels. Significant. City looking at a 30% drop in revenue over the next 2 months. And you heard right there at the end of the statement there from when Mayor Stimson chimed in, said the city's looking at curtailing expenses, said if things are shut down for a long period, a 3 to 4 month drawdown, it will happen on the $42 million reserves. Now, you heard Councilman Dave talk about the reason you have reserves are for rainy days like this one, and that is true. So the city right now is looking at more than $14 million over a two-month loss due to COVID-19. So $14 million in revenue the city is looking projecting as a loss right now. So these are some of the numbers out of the council meeting. So as we look at the national situation here, and trying to get business back up and running. Same thing is happening at a state level. You know, they haven't even gotten the budgets done. Whenever they gavel back in, we've talked to several people about how that'll look. That will probably, you know, a special, we'll have a special session to deal with the budget. And when they do that, the state is going to be looking at their projections from earlier and having to tear that up and doing new projections on sales tax coming. Because from a city level to a state level, we are so dependent on sales tax. And that is absolutely going to be affected in a big way. What's going on today, or what's not going on today and yesterday and last week in Mobile and in the state of Alabama, will absolutely come to bear on budgets going forward. Right now, you have to figure out what's happening with the budget of this year, and then projecting going forward, this is going to have, it's going to leave a scar on budgets. Even if we turn this thing around in a couple weeks, and the president talking about trying to get things back to normal by Easter, let's hope. But even if that is done, there's going to be a scar on the revenues coming in. And so that will happen at your city level, at your county level. It's going to happen at state level. And obviously in Washington, just in Washington, they have the ability to print money. That kind of helps that a little bit. And speaking of Washington, when do they get things voted through on a stimulus package that's going to put money in people's hands, keep people employed, and keep the economy rolling? We'll talk more about that as we return for the news break. Plus, Cam Marston joins us next hour, special edition of his show. We'll talk more about that coming up. Y'all stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:54, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday, and we'll talk to buddy Cam Marston in just a second, and you'll be hearing him starting in just a few minutes with a special edition of What's Working. He's going to explain what we're doing coming up at 1 o'clock. So I just want to finish up some thoughts from this hour, other than that I'm, you know, bummed out that Great Smoky Mountains National Park is closed. I mean, that's the kind of place that you would do social distancing. Also, you know, I mentioned earlier in the week, state parks were open. I mentioned it last week that when they closed the beaches, I said, hey, the beaches aren't the problem. It's the people. The beaches are fine. Nature is fine. It's a good place to be if you want to social distance. Right now, I have not heard. I asked the folks at the state park, and a new text on my phone. Hold on, y'all. I'd asked people at state parks if they would be shut down now after the news of Great Smoky Mountains National Park. I have not heard anything to that effect yet. We get that information, we'll let you know. Because you talk about the revenue for the people in Cherokee and Gatlinburg and what that means for their businesses to have that park closed. What does it mean to have Alabama State Parks closed? I mean, think about that. We talked about the what it meant for Talladega to be shut down, those kind of things. And what does it mean back at a municipal level? So that, I think there's a very strong analog you can see between what you just heard kind of going down at Mobile City Council and what's happening in Washington. And you're in this position here where the two tracks that I would say exist here, the fight against the disease, the medical side of it, the science side of it, and the economic side of it. And you heard the revenue projections, or lack thereof, by Finance Director Paul Wesch. That's what's true at a county level. That's what's true at a state level. That's what's true at a national level, other than the fact that they can print money. And then you look at a situation right now, the Senate once again battling over a stimulus bill. And I'm trying to do something that is 1,400 pages of heavy lift. I'm trying, when I get a chance, to read page by page what's in this bill, because the allegations are flying back and forth and they're pulling things out that are true. So when we talk about what the Democrats have tried to put in the bill, those things are true. Okay. Also, the things that the Republicans have put in the bill, you can put, but they're pulled out a onesie twosie out there and not in a broader context. So I'm trying to read them and put that together and see what's holding this thing up. Quentin Hillier said it this morning. I think it was right on. And it's a spirit that we should push our elected officials for. Find the things y'all agree on here in this stimulus package. Find the things, because y'all get up there and stand and say you want to help out Americans, you want to help out the small business, you want to help out the workers. Okay, then there must be some agreement. Find those points of agreement, craft a bill that has that in it, and pass the damn thing. Then if you want to come back and pick up the second phase, Lord knows there's been three bills already. If you want to have part four, part five, part six, where you battle out whether you're going to, you know, recreate the Green New Deal or you're going to give golden parachutes for CEOs at corporations, then battle that out. Leave that out of the bill right now. Find the things you can agree on in Washington and get the thing passed. Bring on with that my buddy Cam Marston is joining you in studio. Hey, man.
Sean, nice to see you.
Good to see you as well. And this discussion here, economic discussion, well, whether they're having it in Washington right now, we're having it on Dauphin Street or Morphy Avenue in Fairhope or, you know, down at Gulf Shores. I mean, we're having it right here at home.
Oh, it's a high-pitched, a little bit of tension in the voice, crisis communication everywhere right now, everywhere. And I had one with my neighbor in my office the other night, and we're talking about how we're going to make ends meet, what's going to happen. And the word that we keep using that we're all so tired of hearing is fluid. It's fluid. And I've experienced that even preparing for today's show. Everything that I had planned is now out the window due to a new piece of information that's going on. It's an unprecedented time. But what I'm so tired of hearing those words too. Mm-hmm. But Sean, man, we got to come out of this different. And I'm not just talking about economic debt for the nation, all that kind of stuff. We can find differences that we will look back on through history to say this changed now. But I'm convinced that each one of us individually need to come out of this differently in a new way of seeing the world, new way of seeing things. Crisis creates opportunity, but it's hard to see opportunity when you're afraid. Yeah. So,